The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
This morning, good morning. How are you? I hope you was yawning a little bit. Stay in bed. Don't get up yet. It's supposed to reach up to the 90s this morning. Catch as much coolness as you can. Also, I want to send a special message to whoever is eating these early mangoes and ain't telling nobody. Come call your girl. Share your mangoes with a friend. It's that time. Also, whoever it is that have these scarlet plum and ain't telling nobody, please remember that you have a national obligation, a constitutional obligation even, to share the good news with all the people around you. Remember, you are a Bahamian, and that is the right thing to do. Good yawning this morning. It is Thursday, the 29th of April, 2021, and you're on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. Today's show is brought to you by the Department of Inland Revenue. And this message is brought to you by the Department of Inland Revenue. Save on your real property tax. Bahamian property owners can now take advantage of waivers on their real property tax in one of two ways. One, bring your account to zero. Two, get a payment plan. Foreigners can receive a 100% waiver on surcharge. Offer ends May 31st, 2021. For further information, email rptforgive@bahamas.gov.bs or call 242-225-5778, toll free. Again, this message was brought to you by the Department of Inland Revenue. May 31st. Oh, I love the month of May. Why? Because that means it's mango time. That means it's scarlet plum time. You still got dilly around. You should have some star fruit and mulberry and cherry. Soursop is on the tree. You can remember to water the tree. And onion season starting in May. It's a beautiful time of the year. That means I could have mango salsa for my bite day. But on to dates. I want to send a good morning to Minister or Honorable Minister, Minister, Junior Minister responsible for finance, who said in today's paper that, and I have to read it directly from the headlines, people, or you would not believe me. In today's Tribune, unemployment support will extend to end of June. And it reads, the government has agreed to extend unemployment benefits at least until June 31st. Minister of State for Finance, Kwesi Thompson, said yesterday. I don't know how this made it to the paper. Anyway, dear Minister of State for Finance, Kwesi Thompson, please reserve the PLP math for PLPs. There are only 30 days in June. If I hadn't seen it in the paper and heard that you repeated it, apparently, allegedly, numerous times throughout the presentation, I would not have believed it. I read it and thought, that's great. Unemployment support will never end because we're never going to get to June 31st. And let's hope for the best with that. Anyway, I needed that little chuckle this morning. We all need that little chuckle this morning because we got big things afoot in the House of Assembly. The headlines this morning: if you want a war, you can get a war. Speaker shuts down House, declaring final straw with executive. Now, it was the most interesting part for me from the article, and this is right on the front page of today's Guardian on the top of the fold. He also noted, referring to Honorable Moultrie, that the House of Assembly had not been sanitized. Moultrie's essential declaration of war was an apparent reference to Prime Minister Dr. Hubert Minnis, who said in the House last week that he reads books of war. The Speaker said repeated questions to Minnis and leader of the government went unanswered. That right there, that's the most fascinating part of that for me. Why would the Prime Minister say that in the House of Assembly? It's almost as if he forgot that the House of Assembly is for matters of governance and not for matters of politics. In the House of Assembly, you're supposed to be talking to and about the needs of your people. So why did you feel the need to say that you just read books of war? You could have said you read history books and you encourage everybody to read history. You could have said that. Why did you say that? Anyway, it gets even more interesting. On the second part, on the lower side of the fold, is an article. PLP flays government after House shutdown. And this is the part of this article that stuck out for me. Progressive Liberal Party Deputy Leader Chester Cooper yesterday accused the Minnis administration of overseeing, quote, what appears to be the unraveling of the legislative branch of our democracy. Now, this troubled me. So let me tell you why. First of all, the whole issue at the center of Moultrie's concern is about the principle of the separation of powers, right? It's a constitutional principle. And I found this wonderful article, I think was written, I can tell you exactly who it was written by. It was in, I think, The Guardian several years ago by Philip Galanis, right? The separation of powers is a model for the governance of the state. It was first developed in ancient Greece, where the state was divided into branches, each with separate and independent powers and areas of responsibility, so that the powers of one branch did not conflict with the powers associated with the other branches. Now, Galanis goes on in this discussion in the paper to highlight what the Bahamas' model of separation of powers looks like. The Bahamas Constitution provides for three distinctly separate branches of government, namely the legislative branch, which is Parliament, and they are responsible for enacting laws and appropriating the money necessary to operate the government. The executive branch, the cabinet, is responsible for implementing and administering public policy enacted and funded by the legislative branch. And the judicial branch, the courts, which is responsible for interpreting the Constitution and laws and applying their interpretations to matters brought before it. So here's why this comment by Chester Cooper is so interesting to me. When he says, Cooper yesterday accused the Minnis administration of overseeing what appears to be the unraveling of the legislative branch of our democracy. He wouldn't be overseeing it because he's not in charge of, right? He'd have separate powers, right? And isn't the Speaker in charge of the House? So why would we even speak about it in these terms, right? Well, one of the reasons why they probably speak about it in these terms is because they see the Prime Minister and the executive branch as being supreme over all the other branches. Right? Like, it suggests that in the political culture that's supported by both parties, that they see the executive as supreme. So it's just that word overseeing. That's important. It gives us a sense of your perspective or what you think your relationship is to the other bodies. But that body's supposed to be independent. And this shouldn't be a hard thing. And I tell you what, if it were any other matter, I think we would have just called it plain politics. In fact, I'm still concerned whether this is a manufactured distraction, right? And you should always be concerned about these things. I'm still a little concerned about that. But the matter at the center of this is really the health and safety of the people that work regularly in that space. This is about the adherence to the COVID protocols. Now, you go into the story, there are more things to be concerned about, right? Like, I'm a human rights advocate, and we have to be very careful how we prioritize one group of people over other groups of people, right? But it goes on in the story, whether it's in The Guardian or The Tribune, to suggest that the staff could not access testing in an attempt to maintain the function of the house. Now, this is one instance where I would attempt to prioritize these people getting tested. And in the absence of getting tested, they need to quarantine or self-isolate as instructed by the house. I mean, this is a big thing. This is an important thing. And so, yeah, there is probably some politics at the center of it, right? But shouldn't we be prioritizing pandemic issues and logistics? Like the speaker said, isn't that what we're supposed to be doing? Anyway, today we're talking about separation of powers. There's a couple other things in the paper you want to talk for a couple of minutes before I get into my guest, because the discussion that I'm having with my guest is also about, to some extent, the constitutional principle of the separation of powers. There's a lot more in this discussion. I don't want to get too deep into it. Every time I start talking about this, sometimes I feel like I'm ranting. But for me, what it is that I get this sense, it's like a paternalistic thing, if that's the right word, where I always feel like these guys think that they're talking to children and to their own children, see? Because when you're talking to other people's children, there's still a bit of moderation and tone, right? Because you know you're talking to other people's children. But when you're talking to your own children, you sort of just get a little loose because you know ain't nobody could stop you from beating your own children, right? But I always get this feeling like they think that they're speaking down to children and don't understand the separation of powers, right? Like they don't understand the authority inherent in the citizen compared to the authority invested in an elected official. Anyway, I got some text here. Good morning, Aaron. Well, good morning to you too, texter. Yes, please tell him June only has 30 days, my lord. And somebody said a tree in Harbor Bay that collapsed was cautioned off instead of cordoned off. My God. Man, look here. What in the dumbness is going on, Aaron? Well, let me tell you what it is. We've just had a devolution in the culture of appreciation for education. That's what it is, like at the root of it. Because there was a point in time when people who spoke on the radio and in the media and on television took every pain to ensure, every measure to ensure that they were using the correct words. In fact, growing up, my parents used to tell me that people would write Z and S after every newscast with indicating or highlighting all of the mistakes made by the reporters, right? And people took that information and used it to better themselves, as opposed to sort of running hard and say, I don't care what these people say. But we've had a devolution or degradation, a breakdown in the culture of appreciation for education. And that's not about honoring the British system and the British language, you know. It's holding it above all else. That's not what it's about. As I tell everybody, code switching, knowing what is most appropriate in the current situation is what is important. Again, don't get caught in the inner city trying to buy two weeds when they open up and liberalize marijuana. The people are going to know who you are right away, and you're going to get robbed, and then they're going to call it social justice. Kermit, I see we got a caller on the line. Caller, you're live.
A godly day to this.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm holy, thank God, this dark universe. In light of previous knowledge I'm hearing, all of them are establishing or harnessing those bigotiness, and don't careness.
Yeah.
From way back then.
A disregard.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
As if as though we are children. Some school teachers when I was going to school.
Mm-hmm.
School teachers was the same way. You know, they doesn't know how to really communicate. Didn't know how to communicate to children. You know, right now I teach children voluntary, right?
Yeah.
Before the pandemic, right?
Mm-hmm.
But yes, I was doing that all over the place, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I always say to myself, you know, when I have problem with the children,
yeah,
I always say to myself, well, why they never done it like this? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, people just don't have respect for people. Most of those ones in authority I'm speaking of, they doesn't have respect for people.
Yep.
And it shouldn't be like that. Another thing is my question to you, right?
Yes, sir.
When it comes to genetic modified
organisms,
fruits and vegetables and
yeah.
drinks, give me some information on that, like if you can, would you?
All right. So I can just very briefly, because I got another caller on the line, right? So GMOs, genetically modified organisms, there are two types. Some modify themselves sort of naturally through hybridization, plants too close to each other, right? And then some are engineered in a lab. The biggest concern is about those that are engineered in a lab and the impact or long-term effect on our bodies. But many of the foods that we eat today, we don't realize have been modified in some way, right? It's really fascinating. We have to have a whole show on that very soon. Thank you. See, I got another caller on the line. Caller, you live?
Good morning. I'm glad I'm alive. Gee, I wish I could just stay alive.
No, no, you live and alive.
I got
claim
you.
It both.
I got you.
Yeah, yeah.
Listen here. This thing about communicating. We don't interact with money enough, you know, as it relates to the $7.7 trillion that's moving through banks every day. We prefer to interact with the $300 billion that's moving in the drug and the trafficking of humans every year.
Mm-hmm.
Look where the money is. Let's communicate with the money. I think we should teach in school how to trade currencies. Children should know about currencies, how to determine how much money you get if you have one value, stuff like that. And then also how to get online and how to write, robots to trade for you.
Wow.
You know? Come on, man. You should be teaching. Because, look, I know in Saudi Arabia, you have 10-year-olds who are managing $1.2 million easily for their parents.
Mm-hmm.
It's happening right here, too, but you guess where? Definitely not in Bantown.
Yeah.
Okay? And if we can teach in school how to watch money move and tap in on buying and selling and manage your emotion when you begin to lose and hold on because you're going to come back to winning again. If we could teach that in school and give kids demo account, they won't have to be using no other language but the money language.
That's a very interesting point. Thank you. And there's so much that is involved in that, right? I was just having a conversation yesterday with a neighbor about how young people figure out what to do, but they educate themselves via the opportunities that are available to them. Like you
right.
said, people in Bantown may not necessarily be the ones doing it. But that means there's two things involved. There's culture and there's infrastructure, right? And they sort of go hand in hand. Those people in Saudi Arabia, they're operating in infrastructure and within a culture, right,
yes,
of appreciation for what it is they're doing.
Yes.
Like you say, we're never going to get those young people to shift from the counterculture to the culture unless we immerse them in it. They are immersed in the counterculture.
You better believe it.
They're educating themselves through the opportunities available to them. That's why I talk to every young person I see. At some point, they can say, look here, this woman ain't trying to kidnap Shireen.
But they stop learning when they finish school. You see, you're supposed to stay in this university called life until you die.
Right. And but we, the way that it works, like you say, is about communicating and communication. How do we engage each other? When we engage each other, do we inspire each other to live more boldly or widely? Right?
Well, it's not we row, and you know, when you talk and I talking too, we just have, we just don't talk. We don't speak to one another because you can imagine, for the most part, when someone is shouting, another one is shouting, nothing is being said or done or received or understood.
Absolutely. Listen, I got to go. I got some texts. I got to go to the break, and I got to bring my guest in. But this is a fabulous conversation, and it connects to, you know, what I'm talking about in the paper this morning, this political culture, right? And all of these actions I see, to me, suggest to me that the politicians are so caught up in the political culture, right? This particular political culture, that they can't figure out how to communicate with us any other way because of the culture, political culture, and the infrastructure they operate in. And I don't think these guys are bad guys, nor do I think they're stupid. They're not stupid. They cannot be stupid. But there is definitely a problem here. Anyway, that's time for a break. You're listening to 96.9 FM, Guardian Radio, and we'll be right back.
Have an outstanding real property tax bill? Take advantage of our real property tax forgiveness program. Bring your account to zero and receive a 50% discount on your outstanding tax and surcharge past 180 days. Or get a payment plan. Make a 25% deposit on your outstanding tax, receive a 100% waiver on the surcharge, and pay the difference within 36 months, interest-free. Contact the Department of Inland Revenue at 225-5778 or email us at rptforgive@bahamas.gov.bs. Offer ends May 31st.
For the past 33 years, Great Commission Ministries has been defending the poor and hurting, feeding the hungry, and sheltering the homeless. We invite you to support our Live to Give program and make a difference in these challenging times. Become a donor by giving a one-time annual gift or a monthly donation of $50 or $100. Call Great Commission Ministries at 325-5801 for more details. Or visit our headquarters at 237 Wolf Road. Join Live to Give today. This public service announcement is proudly sponsored by this radio station.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Good morning, Bahamas. How are you? It is Thursday, the 29th of April, 2021, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. And we are all on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Listen, we're also streaming live audio and video on guardiantalkradio.com. You can listen in on TV on Cable Bahamas, channel 969 or Flow channel 612. Or you can download the Guardian Radio app for your Apple or Android smart devices and listen to our audio feed or watch us on our video feed right there on the Guardian Radio app. You can text us on the Guardian Radio text line, 422-4796. That's powered by BTC and standard text rates apply. Or you can call us at 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. Also, if you missed a show because you're always on the go, you can now listen to Guardian Talk Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere, on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to www.guardiantalkradio.com and clicking the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you fresh news and smart talk anytime, anywhere, all day. Like I said, I've got a guest on the line. I just want to get through these texts before we start. Aaron Green, there is a conflict and the powers are separate. What people have a problem with, naively, is that the separate powers are exercised by the same people. Anything else would lead to chaos and even more corruption. The British are now losing their mind and have had to backtrack since they fixed their election date. Moultrie has no authority to order anyone into quarantine. I want to hear the House rules that give the House rule that gives a speaker this power. Well, that's a point. But if they wake in the House and he's the speaker and he's in charge of the House and they have definitely, it's confirmed that they have all had a COVID contact or exposure, then the rule is that you're supposed to go home and self-isolate until you could test. And I think possibly even after you test, you may have to isolate for a little bit longer. Right? So I don't know if it is a rule that is directly given to him, but isn't that what we're supposed to be doing? Another text, nurses and other medics pay for their own tests and they are at much higher risk. Both things are wrong. Thank you. Both things are wrong. Yo, Aaron, ever watched or read the Divergent series? Maybe we should have government set up like that. Leader agrees to live moderately. State takes care of them and their family, modest needs, and no financial gain for 3 or 5 years. That way, only people who really want to help the country will even apply. I think that's a good idea. And you got to limit the amount of tips and pikes, right? Because that's our nature. Our nature is we want to not tip you. We want to show our appreciation in the way that we can, right? And if you is a prime minister and you decide to live on a pauper salary to be the prime minister, people just could take care of you. It could be stew fish galore. So we're going to have to put a limit on that too. Last text, morning, they have not taught us about finance on purpose. Morning, what is the difference between a will and a trust? Well, a will means I will give you this money. And a trust means you're going to have to trust I can give you this money at a later date. As far as I know. Because other than a couple of fruit tree, I don't have nothing much to put in my will. Anyway, thank you, texters. I see we got a caller on the line. Kermit, let's take this call dead quick. Caller, you got 30 seconds. Good morning, caller. You still there? Oh, I'm sorry we missed you, caller. I'm not sure what's happening. But, ladies and gentlemen, this morning, my guest is Sam Duncombe, renowned environmentalist, and I think co-founder or founder of the local environmental advocacy group, ReEarth. As we close out Environment Month, I wanted to have a discussion with Ms. Duncombe and about the work of the organization ReEarth, because it is one of the most active environmental advocacy and action groups in the country. Sam and ReEarth have worked on a multitude of issues over the years, most recently partnering with local, regional, and international organizations in a campaign to end and prohibit oil drilling in the Bahamas. But in light of what's in the news today, and our earlier discussion before the break on the separation of powers, I want to start with one of your campaigns that is actually impacted by what appears to be a disregard for the principle of separation of powers. But first, good morning, Ms. Duncombe. How are you? One second, Sam. I can hear you in the producer's room, but I cannot hear you on the headphones.
Okay,
here we go. Great. Good morning.
Morning.
How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me on your show. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for coming. I know that we're in the latter half of the show, but this separation, this big news, man. And I thought it was important to sort of talk about that because I really wanted to ask you about the Blackbeard's key campaign to free the dolphins.
Okay, so with Blackbeard's key issue, in 2014, Re-Earth took the government to court over, you know, allowing that project to proceed without any public consultation, without basically not a word to anybody, just we're going to do it. We had been writing them, you know, after we saw the initial statement in the paper about this facility wanting to get dolphins.
Mm-hmm.
As an organization, we are against captivity. Marine mammals, well, all animals deserve their right to be free, the same way that humans deserve to be free and live their lives as their intended purpose in every ecosystem that they live in.
Mm-hmm.
So, and dolphins are the creatures that basically catapulted me into environmental work and animal work.
Ah.
I grew up watching Flipper, ironically, and fell in love with Flipper.
Mm-hmm.
Only to find out, you know, some 25 years later that Flipper was a cat who was seven different captive dolphins. And every single one of them had died. And the last one to die died in Rick O'Barry's arms, who was the trainer.
Mm-hmm.
Her name was Kathy. They typically want the females because the females are easier to train. They're more docile. So it was a succession of seven female dolphins that played Flipper.
Mm-hmm.
And she literally died in his arms, and he became an advocate to free dolphins because he realized that they're stressed and in captivity. I mean, you know, just imagine being in prison 24/7, people bothering you day in, day out. And these are animals that they know make choices every single day about what they want to do, where what they eat, where they go, who they play with, who they talk to. And very similar to human beings, you know, they call each other by names. Grandmothers look after the younger children in orcas, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Nursing calves stay with their mothers for, you know, 1.5 to 3 years. If it's a male, it stays in with the mother. If the females move out, so.
It was really important to do this work to free these sentient beings.
Exactly, and part of the tragedy with captive dolphins, particularly the ones that are born in captivity, is because they do have a culture of learning from one another. For example, the mothers teach their young how to fish, what to fish for, where to find it. They don't have those learned skills in captivity. They're basically begging for food out of the water all mm-hmm. the time. That's how they're fed. So, you know, I think, you know, as I've been an animal lover for a very, very long time, and, you know, Flipper just made me flip. What can I say?
Absolutely.
So we took the government to court.
Mm-hmm.
We won the case on July 14th, 2014,
right.
July 6th, 2014. And, you know, went through two appeals. In both cases, the government lost the appeal. And when the judge ruled, he basically said that the island had to be put back to its original state because there were permits that were not properly administered for changing
the landscape.
They did not have everything they needed. For example, the waters that the animals are in is too low, too shallow.
Yeah.
You know, you couldn't even call what they presented as an EIA after the fact, way, way, way after the fact, after we had taken it to court, then they decided they were going to throw together some documents to say what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
It was a mess.
Well,
in any event,
I'm looking at an article from May 7th, 2015 in the Tribune, right? By mm-hmm. Neil Hartnell. And it starts, the eight dolphins at the center of the Blackbeard's Key controversy are embroiled in a bitter legal dispute over their ownership, which threatens to cause the $8 million project irreparable harm and destroy its business. Well, what's interesting about the article is it goes on basically to say what you're saying, that the Honduran company is attempting to get back their dolphins, right? And they're wondering what is happening with a project that the government has effectively said should not go forward. Why do these other people still want the dolphins if the government of the country you're in has said you can't go forward with the project? And it spoke to a number of issues, the case itself. And the article says it also raises questions about how a project for which all permits and approvals were quashed by the Supreme Court can continue operating without them and in seeming defiance of the judiciary. Have you received a response? Has there been any response from the government to the court's rulings?
No. I have reached out to the Minister of Agriculture and Marine Resources. I have had conversations with Minister Ferreira. I even saw our prime minister out and about one day and started talking to him about it. And he told me to rest assured that, you know, he was going to get on it. I think that was 4 years ago. And, you know, this is a government that came into power talking about following the rule of law. And this is a prime example of them not following the rule of law.
And that's sort of at the center of why I've always been following the Blackbeard's Key case. But so when I was doing preparation yesterday and this matter in the House of Assembly, came to the fore, I started delving in even deeper to the Blackbeard's Key situation, right? And mm-hmm. what's interesting to me is that this matter started under the PLP administration. 2012 to 2017, and now continues into the FNM administration, right?
Correct.
2017 to 2021, 2022, whenever they decide to call the thing.
Right.
And so it's not just a look at, oh, well, is the PLP a horrible party? Or is it, are elements of the FNM doing something untoward? To me, it speaks to a political culture where once you achieve governance, you sort of forget the rules apply to you too.
Exactly, and that's the problem. You know, I did an ad when, you know, just after we won the case, and at the time the PLP government refused to move on closing that facility down, and then I can use the exact same ad today, and it still holds true. You are not above the law. The government of the day is not above the law. The prime minister is not above the law. Nobody is above the law. If I have to follow the law, then so do you. And that has constantly failed in this particular case, where they basically, you know, do the see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. We're not going to talk about it, and we're going to pretend it doesn't exist. It still exists. I have been in contact with the Department of Fisheries every single hurricane season, because that island and those animals are so exposed to major, major storm surge and harm, really. You know, in the wild, dolphins will either dive really deep mm-hmm. or they will get out of
the way.
The way.
Yeah, but in captivity, they can't.
In captivity, they're pretty much screwed.
Yeah. Sam, one moment. We got a caller on the line. Let's get to this call quickly.
Yeah, well, even okay. I call back, I have a question for
Ms. Duncombe.
I said again?
Ms. Sam Duncombe.
Right.
Yes.
Ms. Duncombe. Now, here it is. To Atlantis, at Atlantis, why are you not doing anything about those sea creatures that are in caves?
Okay, so I will go. You want to go back in history. Okay. In 2000, it was just after Katrina, so I don't remember what that particular, what year that was. But Atlantis, the facility that was holding the 16 dolphins, the 16 Katrina dolphins that Atlantis rescued, and if you can see my hands, I'm doing the quotation marks around rescued.
Mm-hmm.
We made noise about that then. We actively, and this is, this, you're talking about the government and laws. Think about how foreign investors affect our laws.
Mm-hmm.
Because we went into a meeting to talk about Marine Mammal Protection Act. And of course, from our perspective, we wanted the not only the act to be strong, but for the regulations to be really strong.
Right.
And in every instance where we could move the bar higher, Atlantis and all the other dolphin facilities pushed it lower.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been talking about these issues. We stopped Bill Saunders from Majestic Tours in the early 90s from capturing dolphins because we made noise about that. You got to understand, when you're talking about fighting Atlantis, I mean, you know, it's the same issue we're having now with Disney. Ignore, ignore, ignore. And also they have resources that would like bury us. And we don't have, you know, it takes money to go to court.
Yeah.
And, you know, the fact that we have to go to court every time we're trying to make our country better and raise the bar in terms of what we allow developers to do and not do, we get slammed back down. That's no way to grow a country.
Not at all. Sam, we got another caller on the line. Caller, you're live.
Yes, ma'am. And to add, Atlantis means Island Hotel Company Limited, Atlantis Holdings Bahamas Limited, Atlantis Spa Limited.
I am sorry, caller. I don't know what happened, but you were live on my side when the call dropped. Thank you, Texter. It is very difficult to engage or attempt to negotiate with large corporate entities, multinational corporate entities. And it oftentimes feels like you in your own country fighting for ideals that your own country says they believe in, but it's difficult to make headway. Sam, I got another caller. The call is dead. You still there, Sam?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, so in my research last night, I found another article from the Tribune Business section dated May 26, 2017. And that article details ReEarth's actions to stop a public meeting on the Black Bears Key project site plan application, right? So that was 2017. And the ReEarth's legal counsel engaged the appropriate government agencies and the companies involved, and the government put a stay on that activity, right? They stopped
right.
It. Are they? So now we are 2 years forward, 3 years, 4 years forward. My bad, I lost 2 years in the pandemic. What's the status now of that property and the campaign?
The status of, as far as I know, the animals are still there. I have had zero communication with the Ministry of Agriculture and Marine Resources. And, it should not be, first of all, you know, the fact that we constantly have to fight for what is right, not right for Sam, right for the country in terms of protecting our resources and protecting the way we develop and move forward as a country. We have to fight every single tiny inch of the way to get what's right. And there's something so fundamentally wrong with that picture that it's actually quite terrifying. How is it that in 2021, we're still having discussions about a facility that should be closed? We as a people are being railroaded every day by foreign companies that come in here, and you know, the first thing out of their mouth is how much money they've given us or how much things they're going to do for us. Meanwhile, you know, on the back end of that is we're going to take prime land, we're going to take crown land. When does it become the people's time, like the Bahamian people's time, the people who actually vote in the elected leaders in this country?
Right.
They only know us.
When they need us.
When election time comes.
When they need us and mango season some.
Exactly. It's just, you know, it's frustrating and it's disheartening to think that, you know, I've been doing this. This year makes 31 years I've been doing work for animals and the environment in this country. I have never wavered from my commitment to those things. And people always say, oh, you care about Earth more than you care about people.
You can't have people without a healthy Earth.
You can't have a functioning society or community without a healthy environment.
Sam, I gotta put you on pause there. We got two callers waiting to come on, and I'm sure they got fascinating questions for you. Caller, you're live. Good morning.
Good morning. Do you mean in me?
Boy, look here. If you got the mangoes, I mean in you. You're on the clock with Aaron Green.
Mangoes. All the trees cut down. I could use some mangoes. Good morning, Ms. Duncombe. Good morning to your listeners all over the world, Ms. Green.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay. I hear Ms. Sam Duncombe.
Yes.
Ms. Duncombe, you vegetarian?
I'm a vegan.
Okay, that's past vegetarian. At least that's what I think.
Okay. Yeah, well, I don't eat animal products.
I know people would be saying, just trying to help it, deal with the human care, but humans. But I like what you've been doing over the years, and I appreciate you. And people like
you
will be standing up for the rights of animals and making sure these investors don't have their way when they don't talk with the politicians. My question to you, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if this is your job or if you could check on it. This might be the first time you're here, just as well as it won't be the first time. For many years, we've been hearing about this chicken fight over Carl Penn Road, over Michael Road, right? That chickens
okay.
fighting one another, killing up one another, like how they have the dog fight. I don't know if they do the dog fight here, if you will make noise about that. But anything could be done to stop that chicken fight. I understand, allegedly, a lot of police officers would be out there. But if anything could stop that, for many years, it'd be happening. And one last thing, Sam, when all of them, Ms. Duncombe, sorry, when all of them fished them to come up on Montague about 3, 5, 6, 7 years ago, what did it cost that? Because they were saying something they was doing over there, over Paradise Island or to Atlantis, cost the fish just to come up on the line. What does it cost them kind of thing? I'll hang up and listen. Thank you, Ms. Green.
Thank you.
Okay, first of all, it's perfectly fine to call me Sam. In terms of the chicken and the dog fighting, I have had incidences where people have talked to me about dog fighting, rings that are going on, and I refer them to the police. I have heard about the chicken fighting. I've never had somebody say to me, it's at this location. And this is part of the thing. If you know that something is happening,
reported.
Then, you know, the Humane Society also deals with these cruelty issues as well. And they have officers that can go with the police to the site to see what's happening. So please utilize, you know, the various organizations that are out there that do work with animal groups.
Mm-hmm.
Or animal issues. And I would definitely be one of them in terms of being able to send that message or that information on to the proper
authorities.
Authorities.
Sam, let's get to this next caller before we respond to the fish on Montague ramp. Morning caller, you're live.
Good morning, Ms. Green. Good morning, Sam. Duncombe Sparky here.
Good morning.
Good morning, Sparky.
Hey, darling. You know, we've been lied to for so many years. It's like lying is part of our culture, just like sweetheart.
But listen,
yeah. From the time of way back when we fought for Clifton,
yeah,
what we had to go through to get our own land in Clifton, and now it's even difficult for me to even visit Clifton. All the gates and all the walkways and driveways, what they parted off now. You got to park over here. You got to get permission to go through Clifton. I wonder what the fight was all about. And all the parties, they keep telling us the same thing over and over, that when we go down there, every 5 years, we can do this for you, we can do that for you. And all they do is continue to lie and lie to us, man. Next Tuesday, I'm going to be 70 years old, and I hope God will be a chance to vote again. To vote for another liar again is going to be really devastating to my soul before I go home. Man. Because I am sick and tired of us telling us that we own this country, and the liars, they know that we don't own this country. Foreigners are telling our leaders what to do. Every time they get in power, they must call them in a meeting and say, look here. Y'all belong to that little house on Bay Street, but we own the rest of the Bahamas.
Boy, Sparky, I gotta let you go.
This is what we want y'all to do. Do this or you're gone.
Sparky, I gotta go. I got a couple of texts here to read. Plus, I don't need you lighting this fire underneath me this morning. I'm trying to be so well-behaved. Sam,
you are being well-behaved.
Sam, let me read these texts for you.
Okay.
All right. This one is more politics. Good morning, Aaron. Politics can only be what it is, and that's politics. Who can separate politics from politics? Now, putting a thing in its respective place is a different matter. Hence, life is always evolving and generations come and go. Therefore, some things will change also. We can get as sentimental as we want, but life will go on with or without us. So let's try living it as best as we can. That's very good advice, but you can't separate politics from politics, but you could separate politics from governance. That's very easy. That's very easy to do, right? And if we would do more separating politics from governance, then we could focus on living as best as we can. But unfortunately, we got to spend too much time deciphering what is politics and what is governance. Another text.
But everything is politics.
Well,
everything is politics this country.
Well, not just that. There's a deeper principle, right? Like the political is personal and the personal is political. Right.
Yeah.
And we're going to get into that. But that's like it's about waste and environmental advocacy. My personal issue, I have to advocate around it. It's personal to me. It's the last, second to the last text. Greetings, Aaron. I have a major problem with cruise ships riding through my islands, dumping waste and trampling coral reefs. If Nassau is the example, our islands are doomed. I know we need the money, but all money is not good money. Good morning, Aaron and guests. Sounds like the trespassers of the key are just like Blackbeard the pirate. But I have a serious issue with them. They stole... Okay, texter. I am going to send this text to Sam privately. Can you tell me more detailed info on them so I can find out where... my property is, I hope the government look into this because there were plenty dolphins around that key. Sam, I'm going to send you that text privately, hey?
Thank you,
Texas. Thank you, callers. More importantly, thank you, Sam Duncan, not just for tuning in, but for engaging me in such a short show. I'm going to have you back because I want to talk to you about the campaign to stop oil drilling, the other campaigns you've worked on over the years, and the important question, what question would you put to candidates at the upcoming environment debate in the UB debate series? But we're going to have more time, Sam. I'm so sorry we're out of time for today. Can you tell people just quickly how they can contact you or Re-Earth if they want to get involved in your work?
Okay, I am on Facebook as Sam Duncan or Re-Earth. It's a separate page. So please go there and find me. I'm also on Instagram.
That's right. So Sam Duncan on Facebook and Instagram, Re-Earth on Facebook and Instagram. Thank you for tuning in today. Thank you for tuning in, audience. You're listening to 96.9 FM. This is Guardian Radio. It's 11 o'clock, and that means my man, Levon Miller, is up next with Unleashed. Have a great day, Bahamas.